This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. This is our One Planet series. In 1971, today's guest, Dr. John Francis, known as the Planet Walker, witnessed an oil tanker collision in the San Francisco Bay. The sight of oiled birds on the shoreline caused him to give up motorized transport and rely solely on his own 2 feet. Months after that, he decided to take a vow of silence. He believed that listening, rather than adding fuel to any fire, was the way ahead. He didn't talk, but he kept on walking across the country and back again. During the next 17 silent years, he listened and studied the world around him. Over many miles, his idea of environmentalism changed. The new documentary, Planet Walker, maps Dr. John Francis's inspirational life and what it means to be a true advocate for the planet. Here is the trailer for Planet Walker.
Whenever I see somebody who might be interesting, I walk up to them and say, "You look interesting to me. What's your story?" I saw John walking along, and I could tell by his gait that he had been walking a long distance. And as he's walking toward me, I see him take out this little pad and tear off this sheet of paper.
It says, John gave up the use of motorized vehicles not long after an oil spill in San Francisco Bay in 1972. Since 1973, he has maintained a vow of silence.
We all kind of wondered, well, what? Why would you not want to talk when you can?
I said, I don't believe I keep my mouth shut that long.
There's nothing that John Francis wants to do more than communicate. But the truth is easier to find, he says, when there are fewer voices shouting for attention.
You know, he had a purpose in protest to both stop riding in vehicles and then stop arguing with people. He wanted to listen.
10 million slaves across the ocean, they had shackles on their legs.
You can't talk about civil rights in the United States, or for that matter anywhere in the world, without talking about people walking. It's not standing still, it's not sitting down, it's something about the motion of people actually moving forward to advance justice.
In those days, you could easily lose touch with people. And, you know, I lost touch with John. He walked on.
He was taking a risk with his life. That would always be a conversation at our dinner table. Hope he's okay. Did you get a letter from him today?
I have to say there were doubts sometimes when people said, you know, one person can't make a difference. I am just a black man with a banjo. I think we just make that commitment to make the journey.
That is the trailer for the incredible new short documentary, Planet Walker. If you are in the Bay Area, it'll be screening August 9th through the 15th at the Smith Rafael Film Center in San Rafael. After attending the screening, there will be a Q&A with the film team and Dr. John Francis following the 6 p.m. screenings. Find more information at kalw.org, click news, and then Your Call. And we are so happy to have Dr. John Francis joining us. He is visiting associate professor at the Gaylord Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is the first education fellow at the National Geographic Society, where he's published 2 books, Planet Walker, 17 Years of Silence, 22 Years of Walking, and The Ragged Edge of Silence, Finding Peace in a Noisy World. Hi, Dr. Francis. Thank you so much for your years of amazing work, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Rose. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. We're also joined by Dominic Gill, an outdoor adventurer, award-winning filmmaker, and co-director of the new short documentary, Planet Walker. Hi, Dominic. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for making this incredible documentary.
Oh, thank you. It was an honor and a pleasure to be able to hang out for so much time with John and his friends.
Well, I bet. Lucky you. And what a time to be making this film, Dominic. The world couldn't be noisier and in many cases uglier. First off, how did you learn about John, and why did you decide to make this film about his life?
Yeah, great question. Well, actually, it was my wife that came across the story. She is an avid reader of all the written word, and I believe she was perusing a news article one day, not very long after the sort of George Floyd era, I would call it. And she read an article about John. And as we do with most of our stories, we sort of, you know, keep our ear to the ground with regards to, you know, captivating stories that fall broadly within our wheelhouse, which, and I would say that we're kind of environmental and outdoor storytellers. And we did a little bit of digging and to our astonishment found out that no one had actually made a documentary about John before. And so, you know, that was the point at which we kind of galvanized our energy reserves and ended up meeting John and going ahead with him.
Hmm. And John, what was it like for you to take part in this project and then see the end result, to watch this documentary?
Well, it was a very pleasant process, I have to say, because Dom and Nadja were, you know, are just really wonderful people to work with. There were some, you know, it was arduous. It took a long time, and we had to look for some archival footage that we're able to come across. I had kept a lot of the footage that had been taken of me on my walk across America. And so we were able to use that, and some friends sent in what they had, and we put that all together. I left the artistic vision up to the filmmakers. I mean, I would add my few cents of what I thought and what I would like to say, and I left it up to them how to say it and what to leave out, what to leave in. And, you know, for a life, to be able to put a life into 31 minutes and have the protagonist look at it and go, oh, that's a good job. I think that's remarkable, you know, that the filmmakers were able to do that.
And John, I have to say, watching this film at a time when the world is so loud and there's so much noise, and with this presidential election and the ongoing racism that we see, I mean, people are just so frightened and concerned, and there's depression going on and anger, lots of feelings right now. And then you look at what's happening with the climate crisis. What a time to put out a film like this and to spread this message that maybe we all need to just stop and listen more.
Well, you know, I think that's true. I think we need to stop and listen. And of course, I had listened to everyone walking across America. But really, I thought that as a black man walking across the United States with a banjo and not speaking, that there was an inordinate amount of kindness shown to me, which I think led to my successful crossing of America and being able to stop and go to school and study, that kindness transcended politics and political ideas and racial issues and racism and a lot of social issues that we put in front of ourselves or in between ourselves that block us from actually being human to one another. So kindness, I found, was the as it says in the film, the special sauce.
It was also interesting to learn more about your family, who said, okay, we can understand John maybe not getting in a car and driving, but not speaking? That one is difficult to wrap your arms around. Why did you decide not to speak? And to think that you went for 17 years not talking at all.
Yeah, I didn't know that I was going to not speak for 17 years. It was my 27th birthday, and I thought I was going to do it for just a day. And the lessons that I received for that day of not speaking propelled me into not speaking for a few days more, and then a week, and eventually a year, and then ultimately 17 years, because I realized that I had stopped listening, and I had stopped learning, and so I used listening to learn, and once I ended up on the other side of the country, and I had studied, and I had reached from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a PhD in environmental studies. I had something I thought to say, and it was about how, if we're part of the environment, then how we treat each other is really our first opportunity at understanding what environment is and sustainability, or even getting an idea of what sustainability is in our relationships with ourselves. Because for me, an environment had changed from being just about pollution, which is, you know, why I stopped riding in cars, and a very important part of, you know, our environment. But it changed to become also about people and human rights and civil rights and gender equality and economic equity and all the ways we related to each other, because how we related to each other would manifest in the physical environment around us. And so if we oppressed one another, if we exploited each other, that was going to come back onto us in the ways of looking at climate change and loss of species and habitat and all the other things that we are trying to get our hands around and our heads around.
Well, and sadly, John, you were right about all of that. I mean, to think that you wrote your dissertation about oil spills, you said you never thought you'd get a PhD, but you did get it. And at that time, you were not talking. You weren't talking when you got your degree in science and math at Southern Oregon State College. Given all these experiences that you've had, John, in listening, traveling across this country, what are your thoughts about where we are today with the climate crisis? I was just watching videos of mass flooding right now in Florida.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I keep a positive outlook on that. As I was a railroad brakeman for the B&O CNO as a young man, and one of the things that we would have to do sometimes is to stop the train, and we just would, you know, the train just wouldn't stop because we wanted to stop it. It would take miles for one of the large trains to stop, and I think, you know, inertia and the climate crisis is like that. Even if we stop doing all the things that are adding to the climate crisis, it's going to take some time, but I believe being kind to each other is, you know, key, because we have all the technology, but how do we use that technology? Do we use it for the benefit of all people? And can we cooperate and love and care for each other? And that's going to make us sustainable. That's going to make the climate crisis into just an opportunity for us to learn about who we are and what we must do as human beings in order to survive.
And Dominic, after spending so much time with John and putting this film together and doing Q&As with people, again, what a time to have this experience. How has this really changed you and your outlook on where we're going?
I think I'm an environmental scientist, or I was, at least before I was a filmmaker. And through that education and through, you know, as you say, the noise of today's media and the complexities of the environmental crisis, I think the temptation is always to believe that the problem is nuanced, and, you know, we need to throw our energy into a million different things in different directions, when actually I think what spending time with John has taught me is that simplicity is often the key, and it's okay to, you know, make actions that are relatively simple. Kindness, for example, is something a lot of people would think is sort of a little naive and simplistic, but I really think it's okay to start there rather than get overwhelmed by the million possibilities that are put in front of us often.
Dominic Gill is an award-winning filmmaker and co-director of the new short documentary Planet Walker, which is about today's guest, Dr. John Francis. In 1971, he witnessed an oil spill in the San Francisco Bay. The sight of the oiled birds on the shoreline caused him to give up motorized transport and rely solely on his own 2 feet. And months after that, he took a vow of silence. He believed that listening, rather than adding any fuel to the fire, was the way ahead. And if you're in the Bay Area, you can see Planet Walker August 9th through the 15th at the Smith Rafael Film Center in San Rafael. And after the screenings, there will be Q&As with the film team and Dr. John Francis following the 6 p.m. screenings. You can find more information at kalw.org. Click on news and then your call. John, you give talks about your experience. I just wonder what it's like for you to interact with young people who are very, very concerned about the climate crisis. I mean, they have access to more information than we all had when we were young. So what has that experience been like for you? What stands out for you?
I think what stands out for me is the fact that they are really inquisitive and want to make a difference. And that when I say to young people, I say, you are the future. I really mean it. They are our future, and I want to treat them as such. And so how would we treat someone, and how would we treat knowing that the people that we're talking to, that we're speaking with, that we're listening to, are going to be the future of us, and how do they respond to that? It's been very heartening for me. I mean, because I can't do this forever, be the planet walker. So I'm looking for many planet walkers to come out of my interactions with young people.
And what about today's environmental justice movement, John? I mean, the young people are really just bringing so many different issues together and, you know, just talking about the fact that it's all connected.
Yeah, the intersection of, you know, intersectionality of all of these things is paramount, and it's key to understand that there's nothing, everything that we do is connected, and how we treat each other. And when I say that, it's really going to manifest in the physical environment around us, is part of that connection. And if we want to see the world sustain itself, if we want to be part of that sustainability, then we're going to have to act as though we are all interconnected.
And John, again, to think that you walked around this country not talking. I mean, I hope everyone can see this film because it's amazing. People in their trucks would stop to talk to you and you would sign. You would say, I'm walking. And to think that as a black man, you did this in the 70s and 80s. I mean, we can spend hours probably talking about your experiences. And I wonder, when you look back at that time and then you look back at look at what we're dealing with today and how, I don't want to bring him into this conversation, but, you know, Trump and the racism that we hear and just this conversation about race in this country, how do you see it given your experience?
Well, you know, I mean, I am a black man, and I have that history of what racism, segregation, what that is. And sometimes I look at it when people are around me that they are, I don't try to change their mind. I see them as a, not an obstacle, but a lesson for me to understand that this person is also a part of who I am. And how do I take that information? How do I take that and make that okay? And how do I treat that person? How can I not hate that person? It's a practice.
So that person allows me, being who they are, for me to be who I am. And so if they're a racist, then I'm that much more not a racist. And that's all I can say. I deal with people, and I think I've been really blessed to be able to go to many, many homes and houses where people were people that my parents might have been afraid for me if I would stop there and sleep there. But here's where I think kindness is, transcends that and allows us to see our humanity. So not only me, but for the person who is being kind.
Well, we just need to hear this message more, especially now. Dominic, you and your team captured all of this so beautifully. And we especially loved the animation. So can you just end with a note about what people can expect? Just the film is so beautiful and the animation just adds so much to it. We have about a minute left.
Sure. Well, thank you for saying that. It means a lot. We were lucky to have a amazing team, including Remy in Belgium, actually, who did this incredibly beautiful animation, which I think does John's story justice. But really, it's a mixture of, you know, John's own interview, which ties the whole thing together, and a large cast of his friends that he bumped into and met on his journey, archival footage, and this animation, which really tells a lot of these past stories in beautiful Technicolor. A film about kindness. I think it feels kind.
So needed, and you did a great job. Thank you so much. Dominic Gill is an award-winning filmmaker and co-director of the new short documentary Planet Walker. It is about the life of Dr. John Francis, who witnessed an oil spill in the San Francisco Bay in 1971. The sight of oiled birds on the shore caused him to give up motorized transport and rely solely on his own two feet, and months after that, he took a vow of silence. The new documentary Planet Walker maps his life and what it means to be a true advocate for the planet. We hope you can see this film. If you're in Northern California, you can see it August 9th through the 15th at the Smith Rafael Film Center in San Rafael. And after the 6 p.m. screenings, there will be Q&As with the film team and Dr. John Francis. Dr. Francis is visiting associate professor at the Gaylord Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's also the first education fellow at the National Geographic Society, where he's published two books, including Planet Walker, 17 Years of Silence, 22 Years of Walking. Dominic and Dr. Francis, thank you so much for joining us. We would love to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And you can find the trailer at KALW.org. Click on News and then Your Call. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.